What are you people? On dope?
Welcome to this episode of Infotainment. I will be your host for the festivities. And welcome to you, you, and especially you. I wonder if I can hold this real radio voice for the entire program, for all you ladies out there. Welcome to all the fun festivities and frivolity that my regular listeners have come to love. And this is the Last Stop Podcast Shop, that is for sure. Hopefully you found it. If you did, lucky you. And hopefully we'll have CJ come on and co-host at some point during this episode. And we're trying to work out some technical things, and hopefully it will work for us. But let's get started. I came across this on my Facebook. It was forwarded to all his friends and by a good friend of mine, Scott. It was fireworks. I don't think it give it justice. It's not your average day snake, sparkler, or Roman candle, but it was the Ferris wheel of death. I can't believe those guys that were lighting this thing. It was like a huge Ferris wheel, and they lit it, and it just billowed out smoke, and it shot up into the air. And if you were looking at it, you thought it was like a kind of a skinny spiral tornado. Shot up really high in the air. It was amazing to watch those guys run after that thing was lit, because it looked like smoke from the fires out in California or something like that. But it went really high. It should have had different colors and smoke for the Rainbow Coalition or whatever, but it was amazing to see. And I was hoping to get one to set off here in town. It would be awesome. They lit it and they had to start spinning the wheel. And once it took off, it was just rotating and spiraling the smoke. So at nighttime, it wouldn't be anything to see. But during the day, it was truly amazing. And I don't know what country this was, but it was, if they make a mini one with different colors and something like that, they gotta make a fortune. But if you have seen this video, it's amazing. I do have some audio of this device going up into the air. And also, I did forget to mention that it does have a parachute on the Ferris wheel when it floats back down to the ground. But it just goes higher and higher. And you hear it spiraling in this audio. But I wish it was video. We will do our best to entertain with this audio. Let's take a listen to this. So much excitement at this event, you would have thought you were at the Daytona 500 or the Kentucky Derby. They're really getting excited at this thing. And now on to something completely different. Well, CJ and I are trying to hook up something that sounds decently decent anyway. While he is in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area, and I am in the southwestern part of the state, and we're trying to jive our voices into Skype and have something sound fairly decent. Everyone says if you hook in this program, Pamela, as a recorder, and it will save your recording and it'll be a breeze to edit in Audacity. Well, it's not quite that simple. I don't know where the problem is, but man, we got some problems. But having not being able to set the rate or format on each microphone is probably one of the issues, because the final recording is recorded at a different rate. But I made an with a few adjustments, I made an interesting sound effect that I'm going to play for you now using Skype and the audio recorder for Skype called Pamela. Here it is.
Whoa. Well, the recording has started. Maybe I better put on my headphones here. Turn down my correct that. Yeah, I got my headphones plugged in. Yeah, that's how I hear you. Headphone jack on my computer is set up to send my audio to my my computer monitor. Maybe I'll have to plug in my headphones to the computer headphones. That's not good. Okay. Now I hear. Yes. Well, I gotta turn down. Turn down on the volume. Okay, now it's a more manageable speaker volume. I'm not supposed to have any latency. When I have it plugged in into my microphone, it doesn't delay my voice. Does that sound weird? That must try.
There was more to that soundtrack, but I did not want to subject my listeners to any more of that feedback noise. Yes, that is what CJ and I sound like when we're heavily medicated. You just never know what will show up on this podcast. Well, next up for your podcast perusal, we have this sort of Christmas story. How many of you have gotten more presents than you can imagine? More socks, more scarves, more neckties than you can ever imagine. Well, this guy has been receiving a bunch of stuff from Amazon that he's never ordered. Let me pop this story up. And this guy keeps getting a bunch of weird shit from Amazon he never ordered. And he's made several calls and can't seem to get them to stop. And I got a picture of him here looking at all the stuff that Amazon has sent him. And he goes, like a lot of folks this holiday season, Terry Miller has been receiving a barrage of packages at his doorstep all month long. The only problem, he hasn't ordered a thing. According to NBC affiliate WDIV4, getting her done. An untold number of Amazon boxes keep coming to Miller's house in Chesterfield Township, Michigan. Each is addressed to him with his name spelled correctly, cell phone number, and home address on the label, but he doesn't want anything to do with what's inside. We started receiving boxes from Amazon, and I've made several calls, and I can't seem to get them to stop, Miller told WDIV4. And he's been getting the rogue packages for about 4 to 5 weeks, and they won't stop streaming in. When he hit up Amazon to see what the hell was going on, he said that the company told him to just keep everything he got. They weren't any errant charges on his account, so why send it all back? Ideally, he'd be raking in some primo shit like a vape or some funky socks, but apparently all he gets is a bunch of junk. I opened a box up to see what was in it, and it was just accessories for cell phones, Miller said. I got an antenna for a computer and a clothing bag. Since Amazon didn't seem too concerned about the rogue gifter sending Miller a bunch of phone cases and Samsung cleaning cloths, he reached out to the police for some help. There was no telling what might show up on his stoop next, and no one wants to wind up like those online shoppers who somehow receive 65 pounds of weed with their order. But even the cops couldn't figure out what was going on. They opened up the packages and stuff to make sure it wasn't anything illegal in there, Miller told WDIV4. The cop says, "You're in the clear if anything should come up with this." Faced with the never-growing mound of shit he has no use for whatsoever, Miller has been giving away as much as he can and trashing the rest. Some folks might be psyched to receive a Secret Santa out there delivering surprises to them out of nowhere. Miller, however, is over it. That's what if he starts getting like some more adult packages? Here's your real doll you ordered from Amazon. but that would be an interesting thing. Amazon keeps sending you stuff. Merry Christmas, everybody. Okay, this is CJ and as a co-host, and he's going to read a story for us now. You'll enjoy it. And we'll add in some applause and post-editing for the return of CJ as co-host.
Well, thank you there, Randy. Hey, Randy, how do you feel about spiders? Do you like them or don't like them? Do they bug you? No pun intended.
They bug me. No, I don't like spiders so much. But I know a lot of people have tarantulas as pets, so they must like them.
How would you react if you were driving and a spider fell on top of you?
Ew. It might cause an accident.
Well, that's kind of what happened to this lady, a teenage girl over in, again, I got another story from Australia, so I don't know, Australia must be the hotbed for weird stories, but a teenager lost control of her car after she freaked out when a spider landed on top of her. The 18-year-old Australian woman arrived at the Bayview boat ramp in Sydney at 7 a.m. Before she was able to fully stop the car, she saw this huge spider. She jumped out of the vehicle while applying the handbrake, but only halfway. What do you think might happen?
It's nothing good would happen.
The woman then began dancing around to get the giant huntman spider. I don't know what a huntman spider is, but it must be some special spider species over there. Anyway, she's jumping around to try to get it off her, according to witnesses. So there's people actually watching this whole thing happen. As she focused on getting the spider away from her body, the car rolled off the ramp and into the water. The $20,000 Volkswagen was completely submerged in the water and needed to be towed back to the shore. A good Samaritan, Stuart Cooper, who witnessed the incident, came to her aid. He said that he was worried about other people being inside the car that was floating down the river. When he learned that the car was empty, Cooper spoke with the teenage driver, who was crying and shaken up from the incident. When her mother arrived, she calmed her daughter down by saying, "Don't worry about the car. Thank God that you are okay." So, that little incident cost her a $20,000 car. You know, I don't know of any spider that's worth $20,000.
Oh, man. That's... Isn't it like the brown spider that's supposed to be like the most poisonous?
Yeah, there's a spider. You know, I used to live in Missouri, and there's a spider down there called the brown recluse.
That's what I was thinking about, yeah.
Yep, and that's a flesh-eating spider. Once you get back bit by it, it eats away at your flesh, and I knew people that had it, and it's a nasty bite, and very hard to get healed up again. So, fortunately, I never got bit by one when I lived down there, but I heard an awful lot about them, and was very careful about, you know, I had to crawl under a trailer a couple of different times, and that was always in the back of my mind, you know, is there going to be a brown recluse under there? But fortunately, you know, I never got bit by one. They're nasty.
Ooh, that's the spiders and snakes I don't like. I remember living in Missouri and seeing a black snake, which I don't think is poisonous, but I think I jumped a mile to get away from it.
Yeah, they're not poisonous, but they're big. I remember when I was living in a trailer. I remember looking outside and I saw this black snake, and I think that thing is about 5 foot long. And of course, at that time, I had my cocker spaniel with me, and she stared at the thing. But you know, fortunately, she didn't go chasing after it, so that was a good thing. I don't like snakes at all. I don't care if they're black or, you know, harmless or whatever. I don't like snakes.
No.
Anyway, that's the story from Australia with a teenager who had her moment of fame with a huge spider and lost her car because of it.
I remember some guy in St. Cloud when I was in school. He brought his python there. It wasn't all that big, but he said, "Oh yeah, it likes beer," and he tried to get it to drink beer, but it wouldn't at that time. He was trying to show it off.
I don't know. I remember one time when I was living in Arizona, and I was having my car worked on, and the house next to where I was having the work done at had a huge cage full of snakes out on the front porch, and one got away and got into the garage of where my car was being worked on, and there was a little Chinese woman in there. It was the owner's wife, and she just yelled and screamed and ran around, and is what they call a coral snake, and they're real pretty snakes to look at, real colorful, needless to say, I got out of there pretty quick, and I'm not sure if they're poisonous or not, but I didn't want to hang around to find out either.
No. Yeah, I don't see how anybody can have snakes or tarantulas as pets. Just not the same as having a dog or a cat.
Nope, that's for sure. I wouldn't want one.
Not the top five in pets ownership. I remember when pot-bellied pigs were the hot pet to have, and they just got too big for people to manage.
Yeah, I don't know. At least they're not poisonous.
Yeah, that's true. And now I heard on another podcast that a lot of Hollywood celebrities are, or at least one anyway, Tori Spelling or something. She has a pet goat or something. I don't know. A strange story. I've seen some videos of, you ever heard of those fainting goats? If you spook them, they just fall over and just like they're paralyzed for a little bit.
Yep. Yep. Hey, on a total different note here, I've got another story. Actually, it's something that really happened to me this last week that I think you'd find rather interesting, and maybe your listeners would, and this is not to offend anybody, but it was just something very funny that I observed. I was traveling through North St. Paul, and I went past a, I forgot what they call it now. No, it's not the Elks. It has to do with the military, but it's not the VFW. There's a, it's like another hangout for vets.
VFW is the only thing that's coming to my mind right now. We got an Eagles club here. I don't think it's a military.
I posted it on my Facebook. American Legion. That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Now that makes sense. Yeah.
I was going by the American Legion post and, rounding the corner, and there coming out of the American Legion was two nuns. And I'm thinking to myself, something doesn't look right. I'm not used to seeing nuns walking out of an American Legion post. And I don't know what was going on there. I had somebody tell me maybe they're having a Bible study in there, but I'm like, well, that's a possibility. Maybe a bingo and a brew, but then are nuns allowed to have beer?
You know, I don't know that. Maybe they served in the military before they became nuns. I don't know.
So I don't think those nuns had anything to drink. I had another buddy of mine tell me, yeah, it's probably none of your business. I don't know. The weird things you see every now and then in North St. Paul, and seeing nuns walking out of the American Legion is another one of those just different things you don't normally see.
I remember a Halloween in St. Cloud years ago that me and some friends went out to the local establishments for some adult beverages, and we saw male nuns with cigars. They were smoking cigars.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, the weird things you see in the cities, that's for sure. Randy, I got to wrap it up here. I hope you enjoyed the stories about the young lady in Australia and her spider incident, and my experience with the nuns this last week.
Yeah. Yeah, hopefully we can come back with some even weirder stories for the next podcast.
Yeah, I'm sure we will. I'm sure there's no shortage of weird stories, the weird and wacky experiences. So, until next time, Randy, you have yourself a good one, and we'll talk to you through the airwaves here shortly.
That was CJ adding some news and views you can use to this episode of Infotainment. And now let's move on to something completely different. Okay, now, dear listener, I was wondering how many of you out there, my 5 to 10 listeners, actually like fast food? And I do from time to time. You do. We all do at some point. But here is a story about, well, I like Wendy's, McDonald's, Burger King, to name a few. But one of them, the Way of the Sub, is Subway, is an ailing restaurant chain. And it says, Subway is in serious trouble. The world's largest restaurant chain is being left behind as customers seek healthier, fresher food and competitors offer them better options. Franchisees are protesting the promotions. And some are complaining about the quality of its products. The chain is also struggling with conversation and internal conflict, making a quick turnaround difficult and more store closures likely in 2018. Already the sandwich chain's U.S. store count dropped from 909 locations in 2017, almost three times as many as the year before. Subway is currently has 25,835 shops open and operating in the U.S., according to a representative, compared to 26,744 at the end of 2016. But this year could be the tip of the iceberg for Subway closures. Business Insider spoke with three franchisees from different regions of the U.S. about the state of the chain. They all say franchisees are bracing themselves for more bad news and speculating how bad the state of the business is, citing internal conversations and national sale numbers. One estimates that up to one-third of Subway's locations could be unprofitable. Another cites conversations with Subway's development agents. Franchisees responsible for developing an entire region are speculating many more closures are on the way. All of the franchisees spoke only on the condition of anonymity because of their relationship with the company. Subway is not publicly traded, so many of its financial details aren't disclosed. Last week, news broke that roughly 400 franchises were protesting the chain's plan to bring back the $5 foot-long deal. On Monday, Subway's head of North American marketing, Carlin Linhart, resigned from the company, and traffic has fallen 25% over the last 5 years, according to an internal memo reviewed by the New York Post. Subway said it is realigning markets to ensure the right Subway restaurants are in the right locations, remodeling restaurants, introducing new products, and refining operations. A spokesman wouldn't comment on the number of store closures expected in 2018, but despite its efforts, recent problems at the company suggest it has an uphill battle ahead of it. The brand is tired. Franchise consultant Joel Libova said the employees even look tired. How Subway got stale. Experts and insiders say that Subway has struggled to keep up with the trends. In recent years, Subway has advertised itself as fresh, healthier alternative to chains such as McDonald's. Now, however, even some franchisees say that the chain is falling short. Years ago, we ordered local produce daily.
A franchisee who owns two locations told Business Insider, "They forced us to stop doing that." Instead, the franchisee said Subway forces stores to only get produce delivered once a week, twice if sales are especially high. By the end of the week, the lettuce is just a massive problem, she said, saying it is, seems to taste like shredded paper after a few days. "I can't eat the lettuce, and that's a problem," I've told them. "They're just not listening." The franchisee said the company's reliance on specific suppliers and refusal to entertain the idea of adding fresher options is especially frustrating, as customers demand cleaner labels and higher quality food. In a statement to Business Insider, Subway said it works with more than 100 family farms and suppliers in the U.S. to help make sure its restaurants have fresh produce. But the company would not say whether or not produce shipments were delivered once to twice a week. "We're only delivered. Today, people are even more educated on nutrition, food sourcing, and ethical holistic business models." Sarah Bomozzi, the chief strategy officer at ad agency Pitch, told Business Insider, "To create or to rekindle loyalty and sales, it is not enough to label something as natural, and it's not enough to be affordably priced." Complicating Subway's move away from fresh is the prolification of fast casual upstarts. So the last decade, in 2017, few think of a Subway sandwich as a fresh or trendy option when they could get something like a salad from Sweetgarden, a growing chain that has fresh fruits and vegetables delivered once a day. While some sandwich rivals have managed impressive growth through innovation, such as Arby's adding gyros, I've heard that's pronounced that way, some say gyros, to the menu, Subway sandwich lineup hasn't seen any showy changes as sales have slumped in recent years. Most of Subway's new products have been either antibiotic-free updates to existing menu items or pretty standard sandwiches. What's more, as more and more grocery chains add takeaway options, freshly prepared sandwiches are increasingly ubiquitous. Subway went from a crucial staple in the lives of health-conscious Americans to completely forgettable. They need to step up and really do something game-changing. Leibovitz said, the $5 footlong is a good start, he said, to convince people to visit stores, but that can only be a first step. Let me organize my notes here. Do something. Get on TV with some really fresh-looking stuff. The lunch meats are just nasty-looking, Leibovitz said, adding that Subway's food quality is better than it looks. Bigger factors at play. Then there's a question of Jared Fogel. Remember him, the guy who only ate Subway for like a year and started walking, lost all that weight, and you thought he was just average, normal American guy, a pretty good spokesperson, they thought. But he is currently serving nearly 16-year prison sentence, and I didn't know he got that much. After being charged with having sex with minors and possessing child pornography, Subway cut ties with him in 2015, but has failed to find a replacement with as much impact since. The chain attempts to turn around business post-Fogel in some ways simply complicated problems. Some franchisees have rebelled against the many intense discounts that the chain has attempted to roll out to boost traffic. Even the character of the iconic $5 footlong deal doesn't like the direction the chain is going, the creator. Once you keep pushing a low price in the middle of the consumer, it's hard to sell sandwiches for what they're really worth. Stuart Frankel, a Subway franchisee who invented the $5 footlong deal in 2003, told Restaurant Business, "While the $5 footlong has its detractors, other franchisees say the deal is necessary to bring in customers, that they are bigger issues that need to be addressed. With 25,835 locations in the U.S., Subway is a behemoth. For comparisons, McDonald's has roughly 14,000 locations in the U.S. and 37,000 worldwide. For years, Subway seems to have been more invested in opening locations than making sure that stores were able to grow sales. As a result, Subway would sign off on franchises opening locations near stores that were already open. Subway would get more money in franchise fees, but franchisees would end up competing against each other for sales." And I feel that the concerns 10 years ago was just opening up locations. The same franchisee with two locations said co-founder Fred DeLuca was obsessed with having the most locations, and he achieved it. "We had people open up on all sides of us. That was definitely a problem," she continued. "Marketing significant changes across a chain this large is a major process, one that can be made even more difficult if there is an internal conflict at the privately held company." Earlier this year, Subway co-founder and co-owner Dr. Peter Buck told the New York Post, said he thought the company should open more sub-brands, an idea that Subway publicly rejected in a statement. Subway is in the midst of a massive transformation, and change of this size takes time. A representative for the company said in a statement to Business Insider last week, "Our goal is to strengthen the Subway brand in every market around the world to give Subway franchisees the greatest opportunity to successfully grow their business." The chain is rolling out new store design, remodeling locations across the U.S., a game plan some franchisees said had so far failed to produce results. Subway is also trying to catch up with competitors like Starbucks with an upcoming digitally focused loyalty program. Can Subway be saved? Well, experts suggest that Subway needs to double down on quality and fast. Subway needs to get back in touch with their roots. Freshly baked bread and fresh ingredients assembled with care. These offerings are not only genuine, but also different from the competition. Travis York, CEO of creative agency GYK Antler, said they can't just toss a bunch of stuff on random bread products and expect it to impress an increasingly discerning public. However, in the immediate future, the entire restaurant industry is targeting bargain shoppers. As McDonald's prepares to roll out its new dollar menu, and Subway customers have been demanding deals. When news broke in 2016 that the $5 footlong had been retired, people were furious. And while rumors of the deal's return may anger some franchisees, others see the deal as a necessary tactic to bring in customers. The $5 footlong may be a band-aid solution, but it also could finally help get people in the door during a period when traffic is plummeting. Franchisees aren't optimistic about Subway's corporate offices pushing for the necessary hold changes unless they are forced to. This year it's going to be more locations shutting down. A franchise said, "There's not a connection I feel with the demographics and target." Subway is fighting a battle on several fronts. It is possible that the changes make a comeback, but there are likely going to be hundreds of stores that shutter as casualties along the way. Companies and people don't do things in general unless they're in pain, Libovitz said. Now, as hundreds of Subway locations close, maybe there's enough pain. Well, I do go to Subway once in a while with some friends, and I enjoy their tomato basil soup, and they do offer a more variety of breads than, say, like Jimmy John's. They didn't mention Jimmy John's in the story, but Jimmy John's is, I don't know how nationwide they are, but there are a few in Minnesota. Not sure how many, but they just offer one type of bread and no hot sandwiches. So that's a direct competitor with them. We used to have a Quiznos, but they closed up fairly quickly in this town. People not willing to pay their higher prices than Subway. We did have two Subways at one time, and it didn't work out. One was located in Walmart, and one was a standalone brick-and-mortar store. So that's the way the Subway bounces. And that Jared Fogel, what a crash and burn for his life. 16-year prison sentence. But now I'm going to talk about a different thing, if I can find it here. Let me look. A nice story to end the program and for a little Christmas cheer for your folks. And in lieu of a holiday podcast, I used to do those. But it doesn't seem like Christmas to me. Maybe if I had kids, I could see it through their eyes. But right now, let's spread some holiday cheer and talk about pit bulls. Would you own one? Now, I would not own one. Pit bulls, Rottweilers, whatever. I don't know. I know some people love them. But I would not trust it at all, even if I raised it as a pup. Because, well, for one instance, I one drew a little blood off my arm at a Dairy Queen at a sit outside store some years back. We were riding, me and a friend were riding bikes on a bike trail. And there was a Dairy Queen along there. And luckily, they had enough chain on that dog from it was going to tear my arm off if it was let loose. But it drew a little blood, and I was just shocked. And I think I just said, "You shouldn't have that dog here, you know, where kids could be." But this woman who had two pit bulls, she was found dead in the woods in Goochland County, Virginia, and was mauled to death by her own dogs, authorities said. The body of the 22-year-old woman, Bethany Lynn Stevens, was found by her father on Thursday at around 8 p.m.,
according to WTVR, getting her done. After failing to hear from his daughter, the concerned parent called 911 and went looking for her in an area where she often walked her dogs, Pac-Man and Tonka. Different names for dogs. Stephen's father eventually discovered his daughter's mangled body. Oh, what a thing for a dad to walk up on. Which he said was being aggressively guarded by the two animals. Now, why would they? I don't know. That's strange. You tear somebody to pieces and then you guard them. Goochland County Sheriff James Agnew said that once officers arrived at the scene, they spent over an hour trying to capture the large pit bulls, which are believed to both weigh as much as their 5'1", 125-pound owner. Stephen's body was then taken to the medical examiner's office where the gruesome details of the attack came to light. The first traumatic injury to her was to her throat and face. Sheriff Agnew said after reviewing the medical examiner's initial report, it appears she was taken to the ground, lost consciousness, and the dogs then mauled her to death. The victim had defensive wounds on her hands and arms, trying to keep the dogs away from her, which would be consistent with being attacked while she was still alive. It was an absolutely grisly mauling, he added. In my 40 years of law enforcement, I've never seen anything quite like it. I hope I never see anything like it again. Yeah, I would not want to walk up on that. That would be totally gruesome. This thing won't come apart. I'm going to read my second deal on this. The two dogs are currently being held at the Goochland Animal Control Center, where they are scheduled to be euthanized, as they should be. But despite reports from the medical examiner stating that Stephen's injuries were consistent with being mauled, friends of the victim have spoken out to advocate for the dogs, claiming details of the story don't add up. Barbara Norris, who says she was best friends with the victim, told the WWBT, getting her done, that the dogs she knew would never turn on her friend like that. These dogs would not attack her, said Norris. They'd kill you with kisses. A change.org petition started by Norris on the dog's behalf has already racked up thousands of signatures. Please help save these poor babies. Something's not right with this story, and they are euthanizing her babies, she wrote on the page. I don't know what to believe. I don't know how wooded this park area, wherever she was walking, if possibly there was a bear around, or where was this at again? Let me see. Goochland County, Virginia. Oh, well, maybe. I think she was walking in a park type area, but I don't know if they did. It seems that the dogs would be the culprits. I don't know what would, but I think those dogs have a mental defect for some reason, the way they were bred or originated with a defect. And I just would not trust one, or I would sleep with one eye open if I had one. A guy at my previous place of employment said that friends of his said that the married couple, that the wife was pregnant, and they had the nicest pit bull, always nice, and one time they tested her by leaving a doll available for the dog to whatever when they left, whether it left it alone or what it would do while they were gone. And when they came back, that doll was torn to shreds. So they got rid of the dog the next day. So you just never know with those type dogs. You can raise them from a pup, but still, I would not own one. But there's your Christmas cheer for that story. But right now, I'd like to say goodbye to my loyal listeners, all five of you. But you can hear me at infotainmentpodcast.com. I'm on iTunes in the comedy section under infotainment. And I also have a Patreon page if you'd like to listen to some different stories that do not appear on these podcasts. And so it's only a few days until Christmas. So we will wish everyone a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And I will talk to you on the next episode of Infotainment. Bye-bye, folks.